want you to notice something. Draw your attention. For the last 9 weeks, we have been doing a series called Jesus Is. During the month of December, we said Jesus is light, and we went through the passage there about Jesus coming into the world. And every week, we've had a different word up there, leader. And you see the extra kind of laying on the stage. That's always been taped up and covered up. And I kind of put that out there just as a symbolic thing. This will be the last message on the Jesus Is. This morning, he is the leader. But you know, there's more to be written about who Jesus is. There's a whole lot more words that could be written. And so that extra tale just laying out there is to remind you that we're not finished yet with who Jesus is. We're finished with the series, Who Jesus Is, but you can write a whole lot of things about who Jesus is. Take your Bible, open to Joshua chapter 3 as we kind of wrap this up this morning. Excited. This is an exciting day. It is for me. I hope it's exciting for the church. You know, 18 years ago, I preached the very first message here at Bulverde Baptist Church over in the old auditorium, the old building over there. And I stood much younger than I am, 17 years young, 18, wow. This is and I'm preaching my final message on the first Sunday of February in 2019. So this would officially start my 18th year here at Bulverde Baptist. So it's kind of a special thing for me to be able to start the 1st of February and to wrap up a great ministry that God has given us here at Bulverde Baptist on a few years later, the same Sunday. You know, Joshua gave a great challenge to the children of Israel when he came to the end of his life. He talked to him. He said, you know, hey, you guys got to decide. Are you going to serve the God your father served on the other side? Or are you going to serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? You decide who you're going to serve, but make a choice. And he said, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Great challenge to the people. And that was right before he died. I was trying to think about what kind of a challenge to bring, and I'm not planning to die right now, so I'm not going to go to the end of Joshua's life or Moses' life or any of those. Rather, I want to go to the beginning of the book of Joshua, where Joshua was taking over the leadership from Moses. Moses, the first chapter, first part of Joshua says, Moses, my servant, is dead, and God begins talking to Joshua about taking over for Moses, and God gives a challenge to Moses or to Joshua, and then Joshua in turn turns around and gives that challenge to the children of Israel to move forward with where they are in this particular part of their life. I don't know, I've seen a lot of great things happen over the years. In my lifetime, the scientific advancements, the medical advancements, I mean, they're replacing all these organs and joints and everything in our bodies to keep us going, the technological advance. I mean, honestly, it is amazing what has happened. Those of you that are my age or maybe just a little bit older or right around my age, you'll remember how as a kid you long for the day that you could get a Dick Tracy watch. I mean, where you could take your watch and you could talk to somebody on your watch. I got one. Apple stole it from Dick Tracy, but it's an Apple watch. I can talk on my watch. I can get emails on my watch. Oh, Siri is saying, "What speed? Please speak whenever you're ready." I'm ready. I get phone calls on my watch. Did you know? I don't know. I did an update on my watch the other day. I have a walkie-talkie on my watch now. Did y'all know that? So if you want to, you know, you turn your walkie-talkie. Siri keeps buzzing me here. If you want to talk to somebody who's got an Apple Watch, all you got to do is know their. I don't know how you do it, but anyway, I found out I've got a walkie-talkie on here. This is pretty cool. Technology. It's awesome. It's incredible what God has done. So some pretty amazing things have happened. Wonderful things. And when we talk about Bulverde Baptist Church, some incredible things have happened here too. When I came over, we were in the old auditorium. We were averaging about 120. God has allowed us to, we moved from, we went to two services over there. We knocked out walls over there. We went into the gymnasium. We outgrew the gymnasium while we were waiting to build this building, and God allowed us to build this incredibly beautiful facility that he has given to us that we can use. We went from a little, right around $200,000 a year budget when I first came to like $1.3 million budget. And I have to tell you this, in the 17 years that I have been here, there has not been one single year, not one single year that we have ended in the red. We've always ended in the black because God has taken care of his ministry. So from 200,000 to 1.3, don't clap for me, clap for God, because that's an awesome thing. that he has allowed us to have. He's put us in a place that we can reach this community. We are well positioned to do what God has for us to do in the future. But, you know, we shouldn't be surprised at this stuff, should we? I mean, should it surprise us that God does amazing things? We ought to just take it for granted that that's what he does. We ought to praise him. I was thinking about when Jesus was calling his disciples. He called Nathanael. He called Philip, and Philip found Nathanael. Philip says, hey, we found the Messiah, the one that the prophets were talking about. And Nathanael says, well, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip says, well, come on, let's go find out. And when Nathanael starts walking up to Jesus, Jesus looks at him and he says, wow, here comes an Israelite in whom there is no guile. And Nathanael says to him, he says, how do you know me? And Jesus said, well, I saw you sitting under the fig tree. And Nathanael says, you truly are the Son of God. And Jesus looks at him and he says, you believe in me simply because I said I saw you sitting under the fig tree? He said, if that impresses you, you ain't seen nothing yet. He said, greater things than this you're going to see. And God does great things. He does wondrous things. When we look at the Bible, 66 books, from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, it is nothing but a library of the wondrous works of God. That's what it is. We see it over and over and over again, describing his greatness. But what we've also seen in that, as you look through the Word of God, you'll find that oftentimes those wondrous things that God wants to do, he can't do until those of us that he's put on this earth take that first step of faith. And once we take that first step of faith, then God begins to pour out his blessings, to flood our lives with his grace and his mercy, and show us the wondrous works that he has in store for us. I mean, look at Abraham, look at Daniel, look at Moses and Joshua. I mean, Peter, until Peter took that step out of the boat, God didn't show him he could walk on the water. All of these greats of the Old Testament and the New Testament took that step of faith. The disciples in the great catches of fish that they had on a couple of occasions, it wasn't until they obeyed God and did what God wanted them to do that they began to see. And it's not like today. We want everything in writing today, don't we? I mean, we want to know how it's going to end. We want it written down so that we understand exactly the beginning and the end and what we're going to come up with. God says, no, you got to trust me. Take that step of faith, and then I'll show you how it's all going to work out. I'll show you what's going to take place and how it's going to happen. And unfortunately, our future isn't always clear. Even though we want to know the future, it reminds me of a story I read. There's nothing in the Bible about this, but just listen to my little story that I read the other day. This frog wanted to find out what his future was. So he goes to a fortune teller. The fortune teller looks in the crystal ball and says, you know what? I see a beautiful woman in your future. She is enamored with you. She can't take her eyes off of you. She wants to know every single thing there is to know about you. And the frog perks up and he says, wow, is this at some club or is this at the beach? And the fortune teller looks back. She says, no, it's a biology class. So you may not always want to know what your future is going to be. And it's unclear sometimes what our future is, but God has a plan for our future. Israel had been in bondage for 400 years, and God heard their cry. He sent Moses to deliver them. They got delivered from the bondage there in Egypt, and they disobeyed God, and they wandered in the wilderness. By the way, did you ever think about this? The reason they wandered in the wilderness had nothing to do with gross immorality. It simply had to do with disbelief. They wouldn't believe that God would take them into the promised land. And so they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. An entire generation dies off there in the wilderness, and 40 years later, now there is a new generation. There is a new leader, and there is a new opportunity to move forward in what God wanted them to do. They've been comfortable. They've been wandering. They didn't like wandering, but I think they got comfortable in it. You know, you kind of get used to things after a while, don't you? 40 years, they didn't like it. But they had grown accustomed to it. They got used to what was bad. And now they're wandering around and they've come to the end of this 40 years not liking what they had, but it's like the two construction workers sitting on a pile of bricks eating lunch. And the one guy says, bologna. Bologna sandwiches, that's all I ever get are bologna sandwiches. The other guy says, well, why don't you tell your wife to make different lunch? He said, "Wife, I make my own lunch." So we get so used to the bad stuff that we don't realize how bad that it is. But they'd wandered for 40 years, so this generation died off. New generation there, a new leader, a new opportunity to enter into the promised land in obedience to the word of God and what God had commanded them to do. And so they're on the brink of going. In chapter 1, verse number 5, God told Joshua, he said, "Just like I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. If you'll obey the word of the Lord, if you'll let this word not depart out of your mouth, if you'll be obedient to all the things that I tell you, I will guide you. I'll fight your battles for you. I will be there with you." Chapter 2, they send in a couple of spies, not 12. And these two spies go in, they come back and say, "We can do this. We got this. God's on our side." So Joshua, as the leader, and he's heard from God, now begins to talk to the people. An interesting little trivia thing here. The word Joshua, the name Joshua in the Old Testament, the New Testament equivalent of Joshua is Jesus. So Joshua was the leader at this time, but I'm asking you to take a leap with me, go from Joshua to Jesus being our leader, as we embark upon a new adventure here at Bull Verde Baptist Church. Now, I have to say, I am not Moses. Paul is not Joshua. And this church has not been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. But there is a new generation. There is a brand new opportunity for this church to explode. And there is a new leader. There is a new pastor stepping in as I step out. And as we follow the Lord, Jesus will be our leader. And some things we need to understand. Number one, he is going to lead us through all of the problems that are there. And I'll guarantee you that in Joshua's day, problems abounded. I mean, look at what they were facing. Go back and read about this adventure that they were going through for 40 years wandering in the wilderness. Now they're on the verge of entering into the promised land. There was the Jordan River that was a raging, flooding river. No bridges, no pontoon boats, no way to get across this river. On the other side of the river were cities with massive walls around them, so big, the walls were so big that people had built their houses, their housing inside the wall. Massive walled cities, big armies. And in fact, we know from the first 12 spies that went in that there were giants in the land, huge people, big armies. That's what Israel faced. They had lost their leader of 40 years. They had lost the leader that had brought them out of bondage. And now they have this young guy, this guy called Joshua, who is taking over, and they had no clue what was going to happen. Those are the problems they're facing. Look at the problems we face. As Christians today, we have a strong foe out there. We have Satan himself out there trying to defeat and to destroy us, throwing every obstacle in our path that he possibly can. Pride, self-centeredness. Paul tells us in Timothy that in the latter days, people are going to be lovers of themselves and lovers of pleasure and seeking that message that's going to tickle their ears and having a form of godliness but denying the power of it. Self-centered, wanting to do what they want to do. For the past couple of weeks, we've had services, just one service at 11 o'clock. And last week I mentioned how awesome, the last couple of weeks, how awesome it was and how powerful the music is and having everybody in here. And I jokingly at the end of the service last week, maybe I ought to be serious about it, I said, as my final decree, I'm going to get rid of the 8:30 service. We're just going to have one service. I can't tell you how many people sat out there shaking their head like, "No." I heard a comment, one person said, "No, some man told somebody else, that's never going to happen." You know, I look at that and I think, that's part of our problem as Christians. We're more concerned about our personal preference than, that's just a personal preference. More concerned about a personal preference than we are about what's going to be most effective in reaching the people of Bull Verde and Spring Branch with the gospel. And if one service makes it more effective, then forget about 8:30. Well, don't forget about it. You need to get up and get ready to get here. But I'm just saying we have to put aside our selfishness, our self-centeredness, and look at what God wants. And those are the problems the devil keeps throwing at us. Our nation. Man, you talk about problems. Our nation, the degrading morals, the declining slide that we are taking into the abyss of godlessness, it is appalling. I listened to the governor of the state of New York stand and proudly declare that they were going to be killing babies up to the day of full-term delivery. How do we allow that? The problems that our kids are facing in school, my kids never faced. We have this problem. It's there. It's around us. The godlessness, the abortions, the homosexual agenda. We have problems in the world. We have problems in the church. We have become ineffective in a lot of ways and not relevant to the world around us and leaning towards our personal preferences rather than what's the most effective in reaching people with the gospel. Our world is changing. The world in which Joshua was leading the children of Israel was a different world altogether, but our world is changing. So how do we remain effective? How do we remain relevant to the culture in which we live? What do we do to reach the unsaved in Bull Verde and Spring Branch? Well, I have to tell you something. The man that we preach, Jesus Christ, never changes. The message we preach about Jesus Christ never changes. We make much of Christ. We make much of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The mission that God put us on is the same that it was when he gave that great commission in the New Testament to go into all the world and preach the gospel. None of that ever changes. But we have to change our mindset. Our methods have to change in order for us to stay relevant. Our ministries may have to change in order for us to be effective in reaching the community where God has placed Bull Verde Baptist. I don't think there's any other church in this area that is any more well-suited to reach this community with the gospel of Christ than Bull Verde Baptist is. The what of ministry, the what? Obedience to God, declaring the gospel, that is constant. Always the same. The how of ministry, the methods, the way we do it, has to constantly change. Has to constantly become relevant to the culture. I like how Paul put it. He said, to the Jews, when I'm with Jews, I act like a Jew. When I'm with the Gentiles, I act like the Gentiles. And he said, I do that for one reason. I become all things to all people so that I can win some. I'm not going to win them all. You're never going to appeal to everybody. But we have to be relevant to the culture in which we live. In the book of Acts, Luke is talking about David when he came to the end of his life, and he said, and David served his own generation and then was buried with his fathers. It's our job to serve our generation. My generation, the baby boomers. I've served my generation the very best that I can for the last 52 years, and it's time for, we've got, I don't know who's coming up, who's after the baby boomers, the Gen Xers, and then the millennials. Lord, save us. I'm kidding. It's our job to reach the generation where God put us. My generation is on the way out, but other generations are coming, and we have to be relevant to reach those generations. Problems abound. You say, Dick, that's kind of depressing. Well, don't get depressed, because with Jesus as the leader, he's going to lead us through those problems, and he's going to do that by leading us in his promises. Verse 9, chapter 1, I'll go with you. I'll be with you just like I was with Moses. In verse 5 of chapter 3, he says, he said, don't come near the ark. He said, follow it. He said, for you've not passed this way before. But he said, tomorrow I'm going to show you wonders. I'm going to show you some absolutely incredible things. I promise I will not let you down. He said, look, I got you across the Red Sea, didn't I? I got you out of Egypt. I saved you from all the enemies for that 40 years that you were wandering. I fought every battle for you, and I defeated every enemy that stuck their head out. I did that, and he said, I'm going to fight for you. And he said, you've not come this way before. This is all brand new to you, but I guarantee you it's not new to me. I'll be with you. Every generation is new, isn't it? God, I think back as a kid, I can remember sitting in front of the stereo listening to records. 78 RPM, 45 RPM, 33 and a third RPM. Young people are some non-motion. They have no clue. Have you seen the YouTube thing where two college kids are trying to make a phone call on a rotary phone? Yes. Cracks me up. You guys have no clue. We've gone from records to 8-track tapes to cassette tapes to MP3s, and now everything is live streaming out there. It's incredible. And sometimes we're afraid of change. Don't be afraid of change, because God promises to be with you in every change that takes. In 1783, the French launched the very first hot air balloon that people had ever seen, and all the farmers around there attacked it with pitchforks because they thought it was evil. Don't fear the new. Israel's looking at a flooded river, but he had the promise that God's going to take care of them. They had walled cities. They had giants around. You know, when the 12 spies went into Kadesh Barnea, 83% of them, 83% of them said, we can't do this. They were the majority. But I have to tell you, the majority isn't always right. They were wrong. These other two spies, they came back and said, God's in this. We got this. We can do it. So he'll lead us through the problems. He'll lead us with his promises, but he's also going to lead us. Jesus is the leader as he leads us because he's got a plan. He's got something in mind. If you look back to the passage and look at Joshua chapter 3 and then verse number 3. Verse number 3. And he commanded the people, as soon as you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priests, then you will set out from your place and follow it. He gives them some instruction. He said, keep your eyes on the ark. Look to the Lord. The ark was a symbol of the presence of God. For the 40 years, God had led the children of Israel with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. The Ark of the Covenant resided in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. Once a year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would go in and offer sacrifice for the sins of the people and sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. Now it's out in the open, a symbol of God, not the fire, not the cloud, but a symbol of the shed blood, which is a picture of Christ being the leader. And he says, keep your eyes on the Ark. Watch the Ark. Keep your eyes on the Lord all the time. Don't ever take your eyes off of Jesus. You start looking at everything that's going on around you, you'll get depressed. You'll become discouraged. But if you'll keep your focus on Jesus, it'll be okay. Then he goes on down and he says, as soon as you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord, you're being carried, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. Not only keep your eyes on it, but follow it. When the ark moves, you move. In other words, when Jesus begins to show the leader what direction to go, then you follow the leader as he follows Jesus. This is exactly what Paul told his followers. He said, look, follow me. He said, follow me as I follow the Lord, and then you'll learn how to follow the Lord yourself. So Joshua's coming to the people. He said, look, we have the presence of God. We have the symbol of God right here with us. Keep your eyes on that, and when it moves, you move. If the ark walks in, if the priest carrying the ark walk into the flooded river, then you walk into the flooded river. If the ark begins to march and the people carrying it begin to march around the wall city, then you march around the wall city. It may seem like the most ridiculous thing in the world, but if that's where God is leading, then you follow God. And God was leading Joshua, the leader, and the leader was leading the people to follow that. God opens doors. They don't always seem like the right ones to us, but he does. You know what I discovered over all my years in ministry? Just because God opens a door doesn't mean there's going to be this sunny meadow on the other side. God's opened doors. I mean, think about Moses. When God opened the door for Moses to go back to Egypt, he had to face Pharaoh. When God opened the door for Jonah to preach for people to get saved, he had to face the people in Nineveh. When God opened the door for Jesus to provide salvation, he went to the cross. God's going to open doors, and we need to follow him through whatever door that is, even if it doesn't make sense to you. If the leader is following the leadership of God, then follow Jesus. Keep your eyes on God. When God moves, you move with him. Look at verse 5, because here is an important passage. Then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Consecrate yourself. He says, you got to get ready. To consecrate means to repent. It means to confess. It means to humble ourselves. It means to make a change in the direction that we're going. And nothing is going to happen until you first consecrate yourself. I don't know if you have a habit of marking things in your Bible, but if you do, I would suggest that you circle the word tomorrow, because God's not going to do anything until you consecrate yourself first. He said, if you'll consecrate yourself today, if you'll set yourselves apart, if you'll confess your sin, you'll repent, you'll humble yourselves, you'll put yourself in God's hand. Once you do that, then tomorrow, once that is done, then you'll see wonders. You'll see great things happen. So how did it work out for the Israelites? Well, the priests carrying the ark put their feet in the water, and as soon as their feet touched the water of the river dried up. They got across to the other side, and there were some other things they did when they got there, but then when they marched around the walls of Jericho, the walls fell down, and the army fled, and the nations in the promised land heard of the great defeat, and they were all afraid of Israel, and they all fled from the presence of Israel, and Israel occupied the promised land. You see, God promised him, he said, I'm going to be with you, just like I was with Moses. I'm going to do wondrous things. And then because Joshua was the new leader, look at verse number 7. The Lord says to Joshua, if you will follow me and get the people to follow you, he said, then today, see, tomorrow he was going to do wondrous things, but in Joshua's leadership, he said, today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of Israel so that they will know that as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. All God wanted from the new leader was obedience. You do what I ask you to do, and I will lift you up to the place so people will know that just as I was leading Moses, I'm going to be leading you as well. Well, as the children of Israel came to the Jordan River, the priests came to the Jordan River. I love what Joshua told them in verse number 8. He said, priests, he said, when you step into that water, he said, stand firm. Don't move. Just stay there. The raging floods of that river are going to scare you to death, but just stand there. And then the people would cross over on the dry ground. He comes to the people after he gives all these instructions, beginning in verse 9 down through verse number 13. He says, guys, he said, if you will just listen to the word of the Lord, if you will magnify and bless him, he will be with us. He will not leave us. He will fight for us, and we will occupy the land. We have a living God. We have a God who has defeated hell and death and the grave, and he is victorious. He is the conqueror. And I have no clue all that God has in store for Bull Verde Baptist Church. But what I do know is that he will lead the way if you'll just follow. Our world is a mess. Bull Verde Spring Branch, Texas, this area needs a church that loves God and makes much of Jesus and realizes that Jesus is the leader, that he is the one that is going to direct how this church goes and what direction it goes and what's going to happen. Let me challenge you. Don't hang on to the successes of the past because they're gone. Don't hang on to the traditions of the past because it's a new generation. It's a new leader. It's new opportunities. Move beyond our successes. Move beyond the tradition. If you don't, you will miss the promised land. You'll miss the blessings that God has for you. Don't be afraid to move forward just because we've not gone this way before. God says to Israel, you've not gone this way before. This is all new to you. It's not new to me. But just understand that I'm going to be with you. So, challenge to Paul and the church. Okay? Good news, bad news. There's problems. There's flooded rivers. There's walled cities. There's armies. There's giants. There's the devil who is out there trying to defeat everything that you try to do. That's the bad news. Good news, God's still on the throne. And he's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. And you need to understand, this is not Dick Loesser's church. It's God's church. And he is not going to turn his back on Bull Verde Baptist. So that's the news. Here's the challenge. Look at verse 5, would you? Consecrate yourselves. Tomorrow, the Lord will do wonders among you. I challenge you as a church to confess, to repent, to humble, not just the church, but to Paul, your new pastor. I challenge you to repent, to confess, to humble yourselves, to consecrate yourselves as a church so we can see the wonderful things that God is going to do tomorrow. He won't do it. He says, I will do wondrous things tomorrow if you consecrate yourself